This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. And for those of you who would like to contact me, again, I'm going to send you to my website, which is bdcministries.com, bdcministries, one word, lowercase, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can read a weekly meditation that I post there. Sometimes I miss a week, but it's normally every week. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we'd be happy to take any comments or prayer requests that you might want to leave with us with regard to the program or with regard to your own personal relationship with the Lord. Now, we went through the Bible looking at some of the important people, at least important to me, people in the Bible. We looked first at mostly men, and then we looked at a good many women. And we've looked at Mary, the mother of the Lord, at least twice, because last week was Mother's Day, and she's one of the mothers that we would hope would encourage all of us who are, particularly for mothers, that it would encourage all of us to apparently have the kind of faith that she had, to be the handmaiden of the Lord that she was. And again, on Mother's Day, I'm always concerned that we forget about the ones who wanted to be mothers and couldn't be. But I want you to understand that there's a role for you, and that role is often the role of a mother for children who do not know who their mothers are. And that role is also a role, a supporting role, when it comes to mothers who do have children. And it's a role where you can encourage younger women who need encouragement. There's plenty of things that you can do, and I know there might be some disappointments associated with not having children. We've looked at Hannah in the Old Testament, who prayed for children and God answered her prayer, and we know that Sarah's womb was open, and we know that children are a blessing to those who want them. But you might want to realize that in fact some children are not a blessing to their parents at all, and you might have been spared great heartache if you are one who was never married, or if you were married, was never able to have children. But I want to encourage you. I want you to realize that we're not thinking only of the Marys of the Bible. We're thinking also of people who have served the Lord as single women or as widows, or in some cases, as those who have had trouble come into their lives, and they've had to raise children as single moms because of divorce. And we aren't going to go into all of these issues, but we want you to know that the Lord has not forsaken you, even though some may feel forsaken, particularly on a day like Mother's Day. But nevertheless, we want to continue with looking at the Lord. He's the most important person in our Bible. And today we want to look at the Lord as the light. Light is Christ, darkness is evil. And we find in the Bible that we always have the darkness before the light. Now, I'm not convinced in the original creation that was true. When it says God created the heavens and the earth, I never have felt that God created junk. And I am convinced that what God does is good. So the next sentence says, "And the earth was without form and void." I personally believe that there's a history there that we are not told about, and that the earth became without form and void. And I personally believe that that would be the epoch where Satan fell and tried to destroy that which God had made good. But because of that, we are born in darkness, and we find the evening and the morning of the first day. But we are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. I think if you were to read with me from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, we would read that. Peter says, "You are a chosen generation." He's talking to believers now. "A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And that's 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And I always marvel at people who tell me that they were always saved, because that isn't the pattern of Scripture. That isn't the doctrine of Scripture. The doctrine of Scripture is that we're born in sin. We are born unbelievers. We are born, we may be born innocent until we reach the age of accountability. But when we reach the age of accountability, the problem is that we are in darkness until we trust the truth of Scripture and trust the Lord Jesus, who is the one that Scripture points us toward. And so we're called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Satan, who is the great deceiver, constantly tries to convince us that he is the light. And no wonder, because we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And this passage is dealing with the fact that we have in the church today false apostles, false teachers. And apparently they know they're false and that they don't believe in the truth. But Satan tries to convince us that he has the truth, when in fact the Lord has the truth. We first are acquainted, we might say we're first introduced to the concept of the light as Christ in the very beginning. It says in John chapter 1, for example, he was in the beginning with God. And that's referring to the Lord Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not overcome it. And that's 1 John chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. So he is the light. And so when we come back to Genesis chapter 1, when God says, "Let there be light," in a sense we're being introduced to the Lord himself. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And don't forget the fact that when we look at the Lord Jesus, he is good. He not only does good, he is good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And of course, that's exactly what needs to be done. There needs to be a division between that which worships God and walks in the light, and that which is willing to be deceived by Satan, and where we walk in the darkness. And God tries to divide the light from the darkness, but Satan's work is to try to confuse the two. And he'll ask the question, what is truth? And then the only way we're going to find out what truth is if we go to the Bible. And there's many skeptics who will tell us that the Bible can't be depended upon, but we've spent hours on that issue in this program, knowing that the Bible very well can be depended upon, because of the prophecies made about the Lord Jesus and his first coming that came true. And so we see that when God said, "Let there be light," in a sense we're being introduced to the Lord himself. And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And so God wants saints to be united, but he wants darkness and light to be separated. And the people who, we read in Matthew 4, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So when the Lord came, that was what he was fulfilling. He was coming to a people who would see a great light. And that should have been, first of all, the Jews, but ultimately it became the Gentiles as well. We know that the early church was Jewish, but it was the religious leaders that condemned the Lord. And they were walking in darkness. They were not walking in the light when they failed to understand who the Lord was and convinced Pilate to take him out to an old rugged cross and there crucify him. We read in, with regard to this light, in John chapter 3, that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. That's the Lord Jesus. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And it's interesting, isn't it, that most of the things that we do that are really sin or gross sins, thievery, murder, drug addiction, gambling, drinking, and all of those things are done usually in the darkness. have often said that when we go to restaurants that are supposed to be fine dining, where there's a lot of drinking and so forth, the lights are usually so dim you can't read the menu. I like to go to a restaurant where the lights are bright enough so that the menu is clear and the people I'm talking to are clear. But many people want the apparent isolation that darkness brings when they are conversing with other people, when they're eating meals with other people. Men love darkness rather than light. And that's saying that men love sin rather than the Lord Jesus and his salvation. And that's, I know, a hard thing for me to say, because I know many of you listening are saying, oh, well, that wasn't true of me. Well, you analyze your life, and you'll probably find out that there's a lot of places in your life that you put yourself and the things that you love before the things of the Lord. I know I have done it. Men love darkness rather than light. And the reason they did that was because their deeds were evil. Nobody wants their evil deeds exposed. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And so when we come to the Word of God, our deeds are going to be exposed. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to take a whiteboard and write all of our bad deeds on them and show them to the world, but he's going to make us admit that we have failed. And we may not know all the places we've failed, but we'll know at least that by nature we have served self and not the Lord Jesus, that we have gone after things that were not going to benefit us for eternity. We would go after the things of this world, the pleasures and the money and the houses and the vacations, and that's where our pleasure would be. But we don't come to the light, lest our deeds should be reproved or exposed. And even those of us who have tried to live good lives have deeds, self-will and pride and all of that that should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And so once we're saved, we use the Word of God to guide us as to our relationship with the Lord, and we realize that while we're not saved by works, we're saved unto good works. And again, as we've often quoted from James, he says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And so works don't save, but the saved do have a new conscience and a new desire to walk in the light. And those of us who are saved, we can relate to Paul when he says in 2 Corinthians 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, and the God of this age is certainly Satan, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And so by nature, we are in darkness, and it's seen in our unbelief, in our questioning what God has told us. And when we when we're in that state, we are resisting the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And that's why it's often true that when people come to know the Lord, the first thing I hear them say is, I see, because the light has penetrated their darkened mind. Then things that they may have known all their life all of a sudden become real to them. And they say, oh, I didn't understand, but Christ did die for me. That's when the light is entering in. And I hope that the darkness has not overcome you, but that you are one who has seen the light, as Paul did on the Damascus Road. And I hope that you are truly saved based on what Christ has done for you. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson, bless those who have listened, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.